Well, good morning. Merry Christmas. Merry Christmas, everyone. So great to see you. Last night, I found myself saying Merry Christmas a lot, and it was actually Christmas Eve, and then this morning, I was just saying good morning, and then I realized it's actually Christmas, but in any case, it's good to be here. Saw many of you last night here as well at our candlelight service, as it was a beautiful time together, but we're also excited to be here this morning on the day upon which we remember the birth of our Savior, who we celebrate, who we sing to, and who we're going to see unpacked for us through God's Word this morning. Welcome to Open Arms Church if you are visiting. If you're here with family, here visiting, you heard about our services this morning, we want to extend a special welcome to you. There's a gift bag in the cafe as you leave today if you want to stop by, pick one of those up. We look forward to greeting you during that time. There's a lot of commotion in the back. People are having a lot of good Christmas cheer out there. That's great. Well, while they continue to greet each other, if you would join in your hearts with me as we pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for every day that we remember Jesus coming to earth, God dwelling with us, Emmanuel. We especially remember that, though, this morning. Lord, what a great gift. The greatest gift we could possibly ever receive is for you to have sent your Son and for us to know him through your word. Thank you, Lord, for the opportunity that we have this morning to worship you, to sing praises to you, to open up your word and see what you have to say. See, Lord, how it would change us, how it would help us in this season, in this time, to grow closer to you. So, Lord, we worship you. Jesus, we thank you for coming, for being born. It's in your name we pray. Amen.
Merry Christmas. Would you stand with us as we sing to the Lord?
What child is this who lay to rest on Mary's lap is sleeping, whom angels greet with anthems sweet while shepherds watch our keeping? While I see in such low estate where ox and ass are feeding, good Christian fear for sinners fear, the silent word is pleading. Christ the King, whom shepherds guard and angels sing. Haste, haste to bring him, Lord, the babe, the Son of Mary. So bring him incense, gold, and myrrh, come peasant king. To the King of Kings, salvation brings, their loving hearts enthroned. This is Christ the King, who shepherds God and
above all
angels we have heard on high, sweetly singing o'er the plains and the mountains in reply, echoing your joyous strains.
Christmas morning, your birthday, Lord, to worship you and to praise you, Lord, to sing of how great you are, Lord, to sing of what you've done, to come to earth, to live your perfect life, to die a death for us, to rise. Lord, we remember all that as we worship you this morning. Lord, we're here for you. We've gathered to worship you, to focus on you, to set our mind on you, to hear from you. So as we open your word, we ask you to teach us, Lord. Show us more of who you are. We pray this in your name. Amen. Why don't you have a seat? So this morning, we are going to look at the passage in the Bible that those lyrics come from, that the words we just sang. We're not the first people to sing that song. You know that. Pretty popular song, pretty old song. The chorus is actually in Latin, I think. So it's been around for a while. But people weren't the first ones to sing that song. It was sung by angels on Christmas morning, the first Christmas morning. So we're going to look at that passage this morning and look at God's Christmas gift that he has given in Luke chapter 2. So if you have your Bible, you can turn to Luke chapter 2. We're going to start with verse 8. We're going to read a while to verse 20. Luke chapter 2. If you have your program, if you got one on the way in, the scripture is on there as well. Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. I've got a gift here, a Christmas gift. Does this look, have you had any of these at home recently? Maybe not this exact wrapping. You know, don't look too closely. I wrap this. It's not great. But you've probably had a few of these around the last few weeks, right? Maybe under the tree. There's two super duper important questions whenever it comes to Christmas presents. You know these questions. We all do. The first most important question is, who is it to? Because if there's more than one gift, if there's more than one person, then you have to know who it's to, right? I wonder. See, I've got the little gift tag there. Now this is actually a real present. We haven't opened ours yet. I haven't put the two in there yet. But I wonder how much money in America is spent on gift tags. I didn't look it up. I don't know if that stat is available. But I wonder how much has been spent because it's super important. We have to know who it's to, right? So you wrap it up, you put the tag on it, or you use a Sharpie, or maybe you're really crafty and you make a fancy gift tag. But we've got to know who it's to, because then we've got to know who it's to, who's going to open it. Second most important question. Okay, so if we know who it's to, what's the next most important question? Is it a puppy? Well, close, right? I mean, so more generally, what is it? Right? What is it? So you shake it maybe, or you look at it, or when you were a kid, you kind of searched the house before they were wrapped to try to figure out what it is. What is it? So who is it to, and what is it? I mean, all Christmas gifts, those are the two foundational questions. So in our passage this morning, we are going to see God's Christmas gift to us. And I'm going to read this. As we read it, watch for the answers to those two questions. Who is God's Christmas gift to? And what is it? What is it? So let's read Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. And in the same region, now pause just for a second there, the same region as Jesus was born. If we read the paragraph before, Jesus is born in Bethlehem. So in that same region where he was born, it says in verse 8, there were shepherds out in the field keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with great fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling clothes and lying in a manger in a feeding trough. And suddenly, there was with that angel, a multitude of the heavenly host, praising God and saying, Glory to God in the highest. Those are the words we just sang in Latin together. Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased. When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. And they went with haste. They went quickly and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered, were amazed at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned to the fields, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. The heart of this passage, the heart of this true story of that first Christmas morning is verse 11. To you, the angel says, to you is born this day a Savior. That's God's Christmas gift. To you is born this day, that first Christmas day, and we remember this day, that Jesus is born, a gift of a Savior. So, let's think about our questions. Who is it to? Who is this gift to? He says, to you is born this day a Savior. Who is that? Well, we have to be careful because there's a lot going on in this passage that can distract us. There's a lot of amazing things that happen, right? This angel appears to these men outside of town. That doesn't happen very often. Even in the Bible, it doesn't happen very often. This, it says the glory of the Lord shined around them. We don't know all that that means. It shined, so it was a light, and it represented God's presence and all of who he is and his power and his beauty. The whole countryside lights up in the middle of the night. And this angel makes this announcement, and then all of the other angels in heaven join him. So now the sky opens up. And the word multitude here means you can't count them. It means it's like beyond number. The reason there's not an exact number is because it was you couldn't do that because there was so many. Amazing. They're watching the sheep, trying to keep wolves and lions away from the sheep. And this happens. So there's a lot going on, but what we want to determine, right, is who is the gift to? What does it say? Who is this Savior born to? Verse 11 tells us the angel says to these shepherds, he says, to you is born this day a Savior. The shepherds. Why shepherds? First Christmas morning, the first people to hear. Mary and Joseph already had a heads up because the angels had appeared to them. They weren't surprised that Jesus was born. Why was it the shepherds that were the first ones to be told? See, this passage doesn't affect, if we lived 2,000 years ago and we were reading this or we heard this story for the first time, we would be shocked at this. We would think to ourselves, shepherds? Like they were the first ones? Like this is who God is giving this gift to? It's the first people that he's announcing it to, shepherds. See, shepherds back then, in the time that Jesus was born, they were the one pastor described it as that they were the lowest rung on the social ladder. There was one rung lower. It was lepers. Those who had leprosy, that couldn't be around anybody, they had to live outside of town, they had to yell, unclean, unclean, so nobody would come near them. That was the lowest, and then there were shepherds. Sheep are dirty creatures. They're greasy creatures. So the shepherds, the men that watched them, were dirty and greasy and smelly. They were disconnected from society. They lived a lonely life. They saw a lot of trouble. The reason they were keeping watch, they were keeping watch over the flock by night. They were awake because the predators attacked at night. It was a tough life. And they were known in society as dirty, unclean. You just don't talk to them. And many of them were known as thieves, kind of cattle rustlers, horse thieves, so to speak. Not all of them, but they had that reputation of being thieves and guilty. They were outsiders. So reading this story back then, we would have been, what? To them? When I took my first trip to Burkina Faso in West Africa, it's 10 years ago. First trip there, and with a couple of men from the church, and part of what we did is we were walking through the streets and trying to get into conversations and engage. We had translators. Because we didn't know French and we didn't know Jula and we didn't know the culture, so we had translators. And we're trying to engage people in conversation to talk with them about Jesus. And there was these three men. We came across these three men that were leaning up against a mud brick small building. They were in the shade, and there was nobody else around them. They were just sitting by themselves, and they looked rough. I mean, you could tell they weren't from around there. They didn't look like other people in town. Their clothes were worn out. You could just look at their skin and their faces, their bodies. You know how sometimes you look at somebody and you think, man, they've had a rough life. That's what came to your mind when you looked at these men. Man, they've had a rough life. And I think it was maybe Autumn that was with us. He told us, he said, those are shepherds. Those are Fulani, they called them, and their people group. Most of them took care of the sheep out in the countryside. We were in the bush, but they were beyond the bush. They were in the wilderness bush. They didn't come into town too much. I'm not sure exactly why they were there, but they were there. And one of the men had a scarf over his face, and he explained through the interpreter that he had an abscess or some kind of sore on the front of his face, and so he didn't want to uncover his face. We tried to engage them in conversation, asked if we could pray with them. They weren't rude, but they politely declined. And as I remember that, there was a sense, as we were talking with those men, there was a sense that there was a vibe that we picked up, that it was as if those men were thinking, you really probably shouldn't be talking to us. You know, you're white men, we get it, you're not from around here. You don't know our culture, you don't know our language. But if you did, you'd know that you really shouldn't be talking to us. Nobody else is talking to us. That's why we're sitting here by ourselves. We're shepherds. We're outsiders. We're dirty. We're guilty. You shouldn't be talking to us. That is the picture of the shepherds back then. The people hearing this story would have been saying, wow, the angels talk to the shepherds? And the shepherds' reaction would have been, yeah, right? They were talking to us, of all people. Now, there's not many shepherds, probably, in the room. All right? There's probably not many of us that are shepherds, or have been shepherds. But which one of us hasn't experienced loneliness? Which one of us hasn't experienced feeling like outsiders, like on the edge of society, maybe feeling like the bottom ring of society? Which one of us hasn't experienced trouble in our life? Maybe not wolves and lions and staying up every night watching over sheep, but which of us has not had difficulty in our life? Maybe difficulties that have weathered us on the outside. Maybe we're self-conscious because it feels like we look like we've lived a rough life. But if it hasn't weathered us on the outside, probably it's weathered us on the inside. You know, worn us out. Which one of us doesn't carry guilt? Things that we've done that we may feel like at times, you know what? If so-and-so knew what I have done, they would know they probably shouldn't be talking to me. If people knew what I've done, they wouldn't be talking to me. And maybe we think, I know that God knows what I've done, and certainly, probably, he shouldn't be talking to me. Outsiders. But see, the message of Christmas, do you see it in these verses? Is that God comes to the outsiders. He comes to the lonely. He comes to the troubled. He comes to the weathered. He comes to the guilty. He comes to the ones that other people don't talk to, that we don't think other people should be talking to us. He comes to those people. That's the name on the gift tag of the Christmas gift that God has given. He comes, see, the God who came and was born in a cattle trough announces his birth to those who are on the outside, to those who are unworthy. Listen to 1 Corinthians chapter 1. I'm going to read it to you. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 starts with verse 26. For consider your calling, brothers. Not many of you were wise according to worldly standards. Not many were powerful. Not many were of noble or high birth. But God chose what is foolish in the world to shame the wise. God chose what is weak in the world to shame the strong. God chose what is low and despised in the world, even things that amount to nothing, to bring to nothing the things that look like something, so that no human being might boast in the presence of God. See, God's gift is to those who aren't worthy of his gift. God's gift, God doesn't give his gift to those who think, wow, I deserve this. I've earned this. I deserve God's gift, his love, his attention. That's not who he's given a gift to. He's given it to those who are unworthy, and we're all unworthy. He's given it to shepherds, to outsiders, to the lonely, the troubled, the guilty. Very personal, personal announcement. And we need to hear not just that he gives it to shepherds, but he gives it to us. He gives it to us, those who are unworthy. So who is it to? The lowly, the outsiders, the guilty? What is it? What is the gift? What does verse 11 say? The heart of our passage here. To you is born this day, Christmas Day, a Savior. So what's in the package? What's in the gift? What is the gift that God has given? In short, it's a Savior. But we have to be really careful right here, right in this moment, because if you're familiar with the meaning of Christmas, the true story of Christmas, there's a danger even that the longer we read these passages, the more we read these passages, the more we can get familiar with them and skip past them. Have you ever got a gift from someone, and they give you the same thing every year? We used to get, and we loved it, so we weren't disappointed it was the same thing every year, but we used to get a package in the mail from my uncle and aunt. Is it Hickory Farms? Is that what it's called? Where it was like the sampler. It was so good, right? You could just sample all these different things, but it was the same thing every year. So you get it, and it's a package. This is the same shape, and you know who it's from, and so you know what it is. You almost don't even open it right away. You don't open it until you're hungry because you know what it is. See, there's a danger for us to have that kind of approach to these passages and even the approach to this truth that what is given to us is a Savior. A Savior, yeah, I know what a Savior is. But we have to be careful that we don't become over-familiar with it to the point that we aren't impacted by this truth. What does that mean, that he is a Savior? How do the angels explain this? Well, the first thing they say to the angel, to the shepherds in verse 2, do you see this? They say, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy." Did you see how he sets that up? You see how he warms them up to this message of a Savior? He says it's good news of great joy. Now, they had great fear. Did you see that earlier in verse 10? The angel comes, and like most people in the Bible, whenever an angel really appears, the people are terrified. No matter how godly they are, the prophets would drop to their knees on the ground, on their face, as if dead. The apostle John in Revelation did the same thing. Fear was a common response, but do you hear what the angel says? It's amazing. He says, "Well, don't worry. I'm not here to bring bad news. I'm here to bring good news of great joy." So there's this contrast. They have great fear, and the angel says, "Don't worry. I bring you a message that'll give you great joy. That'll turn that great fear into great joy." Do you remember? So do you remember the best Christmas gift you ever got? Think for a minute. What's the best Christmas present you ever got? Maybe it was you know, when you were a kid. Maybe it was years ago. Maybe it was this morning. Maybe kids, you know, you got something this morning. You're like, "That was the best Christmas present I ever got." Do you remember how excited you were? Do you remember how excited you were when you got that gift, whatever it was? Maybe you were excited because you wanted it so much. Maybe you were excited because it was just so generous and so, like, totally unexpected. And you were shocked that you would be given that. Maybe it was something that you really, really needed, but you would never buy for yourself or could never buy for yourself, and somebody gave it to you. And that excitement, maybe we could describe it this way, that great joy that you felt when you received that gift. See, that's the picture here. That's the effect of a Savior. That God has given us this gift that is so generous. It's almost too good to be true that God would do this, to send his Son. It's something we really, really, really need, whether we know it or not, that we really, really need it. We could never get it for ourselves, but it's been given to us. And the effect that God has meant for it to have in our heart is great joy, excitement, more than the best Christmas gift we ever got. Because it is the best Christmas gift that we've ever got. God's gift of a Savior. Look at how else he describes it in verse 11. Unto you is born this day in the city of David. Now that was important for them to know so they could go to the right place to find him. Okay, but there's more here than that. It's not a coincidence that Jesus was born in the same city that David was born in. That's not a coincidence. See, what that points us to is back to the Old Testament, back to these things we've been talking about the last 3 or 4 weeks, the promises that God has made. And Pastor John talked about it last night. One of the promises that God made was that he would send an offspring of David, a descendant of David, that would rule on David's throne, be king. David was king, but he was going to have an offspring that would be king forever and rule well for the good of his people. So he was born in the same town is David, who this promise was made to. Do you see that? Do you see that picture? It's pointing us back to the Old Testament, but it's not just David. We read about Moses, that God said he was going to raise up a prophet like Moses, listen to him. The Savior is that prophet. Promises were made to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, that there would be an offspring that would bless all nations so that it wouldn't just be God's people, the Jewish people, that could come and worship on a Christmas morning, but that all people, that he would bless all nations, all people groups, all languages. That's why we can sit here and worship, because God has sent his Savior to all nations. The promise he made to Adam and Eve. Right after they rebelled against the God who had given them everything, what does God do? He says, he gives them a wrapped gift. And he promises, he says, I'm going to send one. Right after they totally rebelled against him, he said, I'm giving you a gift. And someday, I'm going to open it up for you. It's going to be clear what's in it. But the gift is going to be an offspring of the woman who's going to defeat, who's going to crush your biggest enemy. See, when we read in the city of David, what we need to see is that all of the Old Testament backfills the nativity scene. All of the Old Testament points to Jesus in a manger, that he has come, and all of those promises of a Savior that are spelled out in the Old Testament have been fulfilled in Bethlehem, that he's come, or have begun to be fulfilled in Bethlehem, as he would grow and die for us and be raised. There's another detail here about the Savior, though. Look at the end of verse 11. Savior is born this day in the city of David, a Savior. Who is he? It explains it. Who is Christ the Lord? There's so much there. Part of what that means is that the Savior, Christ, would be the Lord. The Savior would be God. God himself. The one that we rebelled against. Adam and Eve and everybody after them. The one that we have said, thank you, God, for what you've given me. I'll take it from here. I'll do it my way. I've got more important things to do, more important things to focus on. The one that we have done that to came in the form of a baby, a Savior. To do what, and listen, here's the core of what it means that he's a Savior. To do for us what we cannot do for ourselves. Savior, like, save us from a hopeless situation. Except there is hope, because he came. See, there's a reason that verse 11 says, unto you is born this day a Savior. It doesn't say, unto you is born this day a supplement. Jesus is not described as a supplement. Something that you can just kind of add on to your life, plug in, kind of like a power boost to help you do what you're already doing, but just do it more effectively with a little more happiness. Now, see, it's not Jesus just giving us a nudge. It's Jesus saving us. He's a Savior, doing for us what we cannot do for ourselves. That he came and was born, and he came and died for us. For us, that we could not in a million years change our desires to want to do what we know we probably should do, but we don't want to. We can't change those desires to make up for the wrong that we have done. If we had a million years and $1 billion and all the good intentions in the world, we could not make up for the wrong that we have done. But Jesus has. He came and was born, and he came and he died for our wrong. To save us, to rescue us from darkness and hopelessness. That's the impact of a Savior. And that he would come for, of all people, us. Smelly, weathered, troubled, guilty. And that he would label the gift for us, to us. For all those who believe, he says, come. How do we respond to this? We've talked about the two biggest questions. There's another aspect to gift giving, the third that we haven't talked about. It's the response. How do we respond when we're giving gifts? That's a key part of parenting, right? Teaching our kids when they're little how to respond when they're given, not just Christmas gifts, but other gifts. You don't just half unwrap it and move to the next one. You pause and you say thank you. Basic parenting tip, responsibility for us. Sometimes though, and you may have experienced this, sometimes we receive a gift that's just so generous and so unexpected that we don't know how to respond. That we say, okay, I learned when I was a kid, I say thank you, but it just, I don't know, like that just doesn't, it seems totally inadequate for what I was just given. How do I respond? How do we respond to this gift from God? To us who are unworthy, to us who needed what he has given. How do we respond to that? Well, the shepherds teach us. The shepherds teach us in this passage. What do they do? What do the shepherds do? The angels leave. Did you see what they do in verse 17? The first thing they do is they go to Jesus. They talk amongst themselves. In verse 17, they say, let us go over to Bethlehem. Now, the angels didn't tell them to go, did they? They didn't explicitly tell them to go, but the shepherds are like, we got to go to Jesus. We got to go find this Savior. And so they went. They didn't procrastinate. You see what they did? They went with haste. Fancy word for quick. They went quickly. And they found him. So maybe this morning, at Christmas 2022, for the first time, you need to go to Jesus. Maybe you need to follow the shepherds and go quickly to Jesus. To go to him as your Savior. To understand that what he has done for you, you cannot do for yourself. What he has done for you, you need someone to do for you, to rescue you from your sin. To go to Jesus, to go to the one who promises to be with us in our loneliness, the one who promises to walk with us through our trouble, and to unpack trouble maybe that has weathered our soul from the past. The one who promises that he has taken our sin, he has taken our guilt, and for all who believe, he will forgive and walk with for eternity. Maybe the first thing you need to do this morning is to go to him for the first time. To go to him for the first time. And maybe you're not sure what all of that means. Listen, let me give you two simple, maybe next steps. The person that you came with, or maybe has brought you here, maybe has come here before or is part of Open Arms, have a conversation with them. Just ask them the questions that maybe are in your heart. How does this work to go to Jesus? Another next step is come back next week. We do this every week, every Sunday. We open the Bible and we say, what has God said? What does it mean to go to Jesus? How do we respond to Jesus. So to keep coming back. Listen, if you have come to him for the first time, the thing is that the Christian life, that's a great description of the Christian life. How do you follow Jesus? You go to Jesus again and again and again and again. Are you struggling? You go to Jesus. Do you not know what to do? You go to Jesus. Are you sad? You go to Jesus. Did you sin as a Christian? Go to Jesus. Are you at work? Go to Jesus. Talk to him. Lean on him. Are you working in the yard? Go to Jesus. We just keep going to Jesus like the shepherds did. There's a second response, second thing we learned from the shepherds. What else did they do? Look at verse 17. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. They made him known. That's what you do at Christmas, right? When you get a Christmas present. Maybe you still do it as adults, but as kids, you talk to one another the next day or on the phone that day, and what do we ask each other? What'd you get for Christmas? And if you get a really good gift, you know what you want to do? You want to tell people what you got for Christmas. That's what the shepherds did. The shepherds are like, you'll never believe what we got for Christmas. Unbelievable. The shepherds told us about the Savior, and we saw him. They were telling people what they got for Christmas. And there were people that were amazed. This is all the people were amazed. Mary treasured those things up in her heart. The thing about the shepherds, they probably didn't have advanced degrees, right? They probably, most likely, couldn't even read. They didn't know a lot. And even just from these verses, they didn't know a lot about Jesus. They knew some big things about Jesus, but they didn't know a lot. But you know what they did? They told people what they had heard, and they told people what they had seen. We might feel like the shepherds, you know, well, I'm not a pastor. I didn't get very far in school. Never was really good in school. I don't know a lot about the Bible. I'm pretty new to this. You know what? Our call is to tell people what we know about Jesus, what we've heard, what we've seen. To tell people what we got for Christmas. Maybe that's an inroad, right? Somebody asked you tonight, what'd you get for Christmas? You'll never believe it in a million years. It's the third thing that they did when they went back to the sheep. They went back to the hillsides. Verse 20, the shepherds returned. Did you see it? Glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen as it had been told them. They were in awe, and they were praising. They were doing what the angels were doing. The angels said, glory to God in the highest. They were praising God, and the shepherds went back to work doing the same thing. Why? Because of what God had done, what God had told them, what they had seen. They worshiped him. And that's our continual response to this amazing Christmas gift that God has given us, that we worship and we praise him. That we come not with Christmas gifts for God so that he will be pleased and notice us. No, we come to praise. That's why we sing when we come together, is to worship him because of the gift he's given us. We don't give him gifts to get on his good side. We worship him because he gave us a gift when we absolutely 100% didn't deserve it. And so what do? We give him the gift of praise and worship and glorifying. This word glorifying, it's a Bible word for seeing him and making him first. And you get the sense the shepherds didn't have to try real hard at this. Their hearts were full. And they weren't thinking about, and not that it's necessarily wrong to think about sports or the stuff that we have or even the gifts that we're going to open this morning or this afternoon. It's not wrong. Those things aren't wrong. But what was first in their heart was the news they had heard about Jesus. that they glorified him, put him first, and honored him. And that's our response. To you this day, like this very day, 2,000 plus years ago, is born a Savior, was born a Savior, one who did for us what we cannot do for ourselves. It's too good, it's almost too good to be true. But it is true. And two of all people, our names are on the gift tags. Unbelievable. And we're left just with the responses of going to him continually, telling people what we got for Christmas, and worshiping him. Let's pray. Jesus, there's a sweetness, a specialness, if that's a word, this morning of gathering together on the day that we celebrate as your birthday to worship you, to remember what you've done. Jesus, we say to you, happy birthday. And thank you for spending it with us. Lord, thank you for stepping down into our world. Thank you for going to the cross for us. Lord, may our hearts do what everybody else heard, that heard this on that first Christmas morning. May our hearts wonder and be amazed at who you are, and that you would make that known to us of all people. Lord, we worship you, we bless you, and we pray this in your name. Amen.
Oh, come, oh, you unfaithful, come, weak and unstable.
Christmas. Merry Christmas, and we will see you soon.